Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Wednesday, the 6th of December, recording at 8:45 p.m. Greenwich Mean Time. Now, first, the highlights. And we have stock markets pretty steady here. Generally, the Asian markets were firm, including another quite good gain from the Japanese banks index. That's important. More on that in a moment. And we have, well, actually, the European markets were very quiet here today. They've been up a little bit and down a little bit, but barely changed in most instances. But Wall Street's taken off again this afternoon. Dow currently up 161, nearly 20 on the S&P, and 37 points on the NASDAQ composite. Those are all gains of from 1.2% to 1.4%. And not surprisingly, against that background, the government bonds have weakened here, and fairly sharply in here today, but they have had an awfully good run. And the U.S. dollar has paused following yesterday's barnstorming advance, but it's mostly a bit, I was going to say mostly a bit higher, not sure about that as I glance here at the screen. It's a quiet day for the dollar. But we may see, I think it may struggle to hold some of these gains that it's seen against the resources currencies, particularly the Canadian and the Aussie. Now, looking further here, the metals, very interesting day here for the precious metals, because they sold off early on and then rebounded. For instance, let's take the case of gold. Gold bullion dipped down to $7.85.24, but is currently at $8.03, having been as high as $8.05.67. So that bounced back, as did silver. Wall Street's rally really helped the precious metals to firm here, and I think that suggests that some of the that we're seeing some short covering and some of the reflation trades are coming back in. And crude oil, that was actually, crude oil is doing quite well. It's up $3 as I speak. That's interesting, because it had dipped almost $2, got down to 85.82, but is back at 90.49 as I speak. Grains are quiet. Okay, so what's going on here overall? Well, the most important point I could mention is one I've mentioned before, but it really is apt, and that is that quote about risk is often lowest when it is most visible. Worth repeating, risk is often lowest when it is most visible. And certainly the whole subprime triggered related credit crisis of confidence fiasco has been highly visible. You probably feel that you've heard about nothing else since August. Now, that doesn't mean that the problem has been wrapped up and gone away. Far from it. And you can see that in the very subdued performance of U.S. bank shares against this rally. Europeans are doing a little bit better. The Japanese banks are doing a whole lot better. And that really does make me feel that Japan is in the process of a more bullish re-rating. It's been such a poor performer all year long. But it is looking like it at least as if it should move further from the lower side of its broad trading range up into the middle, and quite possibly upper side of its broad trading range. So that is noteworthy. Now, the Bush plan, as I mentioned yesterday, for freezing a number of these loans has really helped the market in here, because although it'll be controversial and so on, as I said yesterday, it has lifted that Damoclean sword of, you know, I think it was millions of mortgage reschedulings, which were due for 2008 and 2009. So that is very, very important to suddenly remove those from the burner. And I think what we're seeing here is no doubt an explosion in short covering activity. You don't get an explosive rally following a big sell-off without having a lot of short covering activity. Less in the banks, as I've said, at least in the U.S. banks, but plenty of short covering elsewhere, and also some buying on people who really feel that we have seen markets overreact quite probably to these problems. Now, more needs to be done, as I said before, and I was not impressed with Mervyn King's 25 basis point interest rate cut. And yes, of course, there'll be more to follow, but the UK economy really is a weak spot, and I think we should have had a 50 basis point cut. And people write, well, that might have sent the wrong signal. You got to be kidding. You know, here were rates at 5.75%, by far the highest in North America, and clear evidence of a weakening economy, and we get a quarter point cut. Well, again, I'm of that school that you raise interest rates gradually as a central banker, like an escalator, and you cut them sharply, like an elevator. And we're certainly not seeing that from the Bank of England. What will Bernanke do? Well, the market is certainly priced in 25 basis point, a 25 basis points cut. That's probably what it will get. I would prefer a 50 basis points cut, but given the package here in terms of freezing the mortgages, and assuming that we get a 25 basis point cut from Bernanke, and that we do not get one of those balanced risk statements that he so recklessly and naively made back in, I think it was on Halloween, following the last 25 basis point cut, then markets will probably be quite happy with that. So he's nowhere near as far behind the curve of events as Mervyn King at the Bank of England is. Okay, so what about some of the leading markets here? India, I've got a number of items on the site that I have posted now, and different views, people worrying about India. Well, its relative performance has been phenomenal. It's been remarkably steady in here during this whole crisis, not least because Indian banks are not involved in all this nonsense. And when I look at that chart, though, I can see overextension relative to the 200-day moving average. So can you. I posted that chart again. So it's not hard to envisage India ranging around and moving closer to that 200-day moving average. Of course, that powerful relative strength that it has shown, so firm, within a whisker of its highs, and actually some of the Bombay Stock Exchange indices have already touched new highs. that it's not impossible that we could get another surge on the upside, and then India would become much more overextended. But we're just talking about short-term timing in here. Would I add to my India position at this level? Well, no, I've always added to it on setbacks. Am I concerned? Do I feel I should rush out and sell my India position because it might come slumping down, as some people have forecast? No, rightly or wrongly. So the chart supports that conclusion. I like the long-term story so much. And ditto China here. And China has seen a correction and is a little bit firmer following that. Now, government bonds have maintained all along that they would take their cue from stock markets, and that has been the case here all along. And certainly the more stock markets rally, the more money we will see coming out of bond markets. Particularly, we will get some profit taking on people who've had the momentum play, and we will get some of the people who had fled to bonds because they feared a stock market bear trend. They will come out of bonds as well. But I do not expect bond yields to press up to their June highs anytime soon. So I think that might remain reasonably stable. Bonds may provide a reasonably stable background for global stock markets. As I mentioned yesterday, the potential crisis over a US dollar that was declining just much too rapidly, that has certainly abated for at least the short term, and quite possibly medium term, defined as anything from a few weeks up to a couple of years, although I do not expect the dollar to hold steady for 2 years, so that would certainly surprise me. But at least that's not a problem here for stock markets. The remaining problem is the underperformance of banks and the fact that some more metaphorical shoes will drop. In other words, there'll be more bad news disclosures. And also the slowdown means lower rates of corporate profit growth and some quite disappointing profits for a number of companies. So we may find some markets, particularly some of the European markets, they may be a bit dull relative to what we had become accustomed to from 2003 on up to, say, June of this year. But that's hardly a bad story overall, and I maintain this is no global bear market. And I think the technical evidence mostly supports that hypothesis. And there's been so much bearish sentiment that I think there's more money on the sidelines waiting to come in than there really is a chance of people just dumping positions really quite heavily. So the Christmas rally, as they call it, is evident on schedule. What about the precious metals? They have this headwind of the dollar, but having already mentioned that it'll be difficult for the dollar to significantly extend its rallies against the resources currencies. That's where the dollar's rally started, and I don't think we'll see a whole lot more, personally. Now, that remains to be seen, of course. But I don't see this as being a really big problem for the precious metals. Maybe they get a lengthy consolidation. They're currently in a consolidation phase. Maybe it lasts for a few months, but I wouldn't count on that either. That seems to me to be probably the extent of the downside. And I think this a steadier tone for global stock markets would be positive for the precious metals. And I maintain that interest rate cuts, particularly US interest rate cuts, are reversing what was previously a headwind because it brings down the contango costs, those contangos where they exist, and they exist for most commodities, actually narrow. I also think we have heard some really way too bearish commentary about the whole global infrastructure building effort slowing down significantly. I don't buy into that. Yes, we get a slightly slower global economy, but you'll have to peer closely at China, the Middle East, India, the resources producing countries from Australia to South America. And you'll have to peer very closely to see much slowdown actually occurring there. And as I've said before, we've even got a building boom going on in New York City. So I think that there are some big short positions in metal prices and a lot of bearish forecasts, which confirms that there are a lot of short positions in industrial metal prices. And I think where prices are depressed, and I would cite nickel, copper to a certain extent, zinc to a considerable extent, also nickel to a considerable extent, aluminium to a certain extent, that we're likely to see prices moving higher over the next few months. And crude oil, well, I've described this as a medium-term correction, and I felt that we would get closer to 80 before we saw it moving closer to 100 again, but I'm a little bit impressed by this rally back above 90 that we see in here today. That hasn't actually changed that technical outlook, but well, we'll see. It's still in an overall corrective phase, but with very much within a bull market. Grains and beans, I think they're going to push higher in coming months. So might cocoa and coffee. And I think that's it for another day, and an interesting one at that. So, all the best to all of you.